Thanks a lot. Got kind of limited time here. Generally, what I want to do is to put all this into context, and I'd like a little bit of time to respond to some of the concerns of the previous speaker. I'm happy to stick around after the luncheon to answer questions if people want to do that. This whole issue actually began back in 1996, and that's when thousands of people from all over the municipality got together and talked about what kind of vision do we want for our city, how do we want our city to grow. That effort continued all the way up to about 2001 under both Maystrom and Wirch. It moved forward. At that time, we had, and the Assembly adopted, a document called Anchorage 2020, and that was what we saw, the way we saw Anchorage in an ideal world. Well, the document also stated that there'd be some real challenges in implementing that vision, and boy, have there been. Back in when that plan was adopted, there were some pretty significant shifts from the way we've lived and worked for a long time in this city. The document said that we would have town centers, which would be focuses of community activity, transit corridors linking those town centers with major employment centers that would be high-density work environments. Talked about pedestrian amenities and connection requirements, building design standards, and industrial reserves for ensuring that strategically placed lands were available to further economic growth in the future. After the Assembly in this community adopted that plan, the Assembly hired Clarion Associates out of Colorado to rewrite Title 21, which is the section of city code that deals with land use regulations. Well, the Clarion document came out. It was widely publicized, and that's actually a major reason why I ran for my office. By the time I became actively involved in that rewrite back in 2004, there were already five community groups really looking at that Title 21, trying to figure out what the impact would be. One of them, of course, was a group that was under the sponsorship of this chamber. Well, that Clarion document generated a whole lot of pushback. Many feared that it was too radical, too significant a change. Thousands of people literally gave comment to the planning department about what was wrong, what should be changed. And as a result of that, there have been numerous rewrites and numerous studies done to examine some of the concerns that seem to be most problematic to the community. Beyond the controversy, though, over the specific wording in the document, there were some overarching concerns that the Assembly and the city had. Two major concerns were, under Alaska's fairly strict takings language, would some of these fairly significant changes in code go beyond the traditional eminent domain and actually be considered takings? Another really overarching concern is, what's going to be the cost to this? Is the cost of the new Title 21 going to be comparable with the benefit that we're anticipating receiving for it? On the first question, we tasked then municipal attorney Fred Boness to do some research for us on state law regarding takings. And at that time, we learned a lot and determined that actually any potential law change that contributed to loss of potential development value could be considered a taking. And so we scaled back. The initial push had been for a pretty massive mandated rezoning in this town. And we decided that that was not the way to go, and instead we were going to include inducements or carrots in our code. We were going to look more aggressively at grandfathering existing developments and as we implemented design standards, and we were going to recognize incremental property development plans as having concrete value. The second major concern, the cost-benefit part of it, was really difficult. Continues to be difficult. We commissioned an economic impact analysis from Developmental Strategies Incorporated. They were tasked with quantifying the impact of the new draft code language on land values. Well, they considered developmental potential based on new allowed uses and on the maximum building sizes that would be allowed. They considered developmental costs of compliance with the new regs, particularly by evaluating sample sites. And they focused on commercial property, high-density residential and industrial properties, because most of the change in the new language is on those segments of the community. We were gratified to learn that in most cases the increased development costs were offset by reduced parking requirements. Well, the new language, it calls for stricter building design standards, more landscaping, both perimeter and interior, increased pedestrian amenities, defined snow storage areas, more site plan review, but that significant reduction in parking requirements had such a big economic impact that it basically counterbalanced that, with one exception. And the one exception in developmental costs was for industrial property. The code was significantly changed, potentially, in what would be allowed on industrial property. And the report told us that industrial property could see up to a 15% loss in value, primarily due to these new restrictions on allowable use. Our existing code virtually allows any use on industrial property, with the exception of residential. And the new Title 21 language specifically limits use to light or heavy industrial and related support services. Well, because of that significant change and our overriding concern, our committee pushed for this study to be done. And the report, when we got it back, I admit I had a lot of questions. We spent, 4 or 5 hours with the company that did this, asking questions and expressing concerns. But the report, to me, clearly shows that we need to protect our available industrial reserve. The report shows this deficit coming by 2030 or possibly earlier. And one of the things that reassured me about the report is it assumed that we're going to be needing or developing about 30 acres a year. And if you look back at historical trends, it's been more than that. It's been about 33. We learned that our vacancy factor for industrial property is very low, maybe 2% to 3%, but the national average for that is up to 12%. We're constrained by transportation costs and isolation. We spent a lot of time looking at these other sections of property that have potential. The Fire Island was mentioned, but additionally, we looked at properties like the Chugiak Eagle River, for instance. A lot of that land is owned by a Kloetner Corporation, and they have a policy of leasing rather than allowing outright sales. There's also some major infrastructure needs we have in this community if we're going to develop some of those more outlying properties. I think a lot of the other remarks that I prepared have already been covered, which is to talk about some of the constraints on those buffer properties that would allow us room to move in case our economy accelerated. I think that it might be of real interest to you to go to that municipal webpage and read the analysis of those scenarios, because I think they were done fairly thoroughly, and even though they aren't specifically mentioned as available for development, they are discussed in terms of what constraints exist upon them. Clearly, restricting uses on industrial lands is going to have a significant impact for this community, and it's not going to be done lightly. We have been working diligently to come up with code language that would allow us to move towards the vision that this community adopted back in 2001, but do it in a way that is realistic. My biggest concerns have been with the thoroughness of the economic impact analysis study that was done than this particular one, and I'd like us to be able to continue to work on that. But realize that we've set ourselves a very daunting task when we moved forward with this new vision and this rewrite. We have decided to take tentative small steps in some direction and look at the feedback we receive as we've moved forward. Right now, we are close to the end. We have two more chapters to go in Title 21. We're on the most difficult chapter right now, which is Chapter 7, the developmental studies. At our last assembly meeting, we managed to finish the first part of that. I have spent about 7 years on this, and the amount of analysis is challenging. The need for more information and more studies is constant, but in order to realistically move forward, there has to be some limit on how many additional studies you commission and how much you have to double-check decisions that you've made. I have to tell you, this is now the fifth version of some of these chapters that we've had before us, has been, received a lot better and is a lot more realistic in terms of fitting with us than the first versions. I, at this time, see that we're already past time, and so I'm going to cut short my remarks, but I believe that there's already a pile of questions up here, and we'd be happy to stay and respond to any more that you have. Thanks.
Well, we are really close to the end of our time period, so what we are going to do is I'm going to allow for a few questions, so we'll probably go over by about 10-15 minutes, but we'll try to get to